Final hour, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you on this Monday morning. And it is Monday at 8 o'clock, which means we bring in our good friend Corey Curtis from News 2 to the program on our phone line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Corey, good morning. How are you?
I will tell you what, I don't even know how to react. A victory Monday in Nashville, not just for the Titans. The Preds go 2-0.
A total victory.
Commodores win at Wake Forest. I really feel like, you know, the world balances itself, and I'm in for a crappy day.
Well, I don't know. You're going to be at the Saban press conference later? That could be a real treat for all of us.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure that's going to be a joy.
Oh, boy. Do you want to go ahead and get your
like
shots on me?
I like that commercial he has where he owns the B&B.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
He's the homo. Yeah.
Check-ins
at 4.
No showers.
Yeah.
This isn't a spa.
That's right. Do you want to go ahead and get your
Debbie's melting in the hot tub?
Want to go ahead and get your shot in on me of the nice Chicago Bears victory this weekend?
No. You know what? They played two really entertaining games between the two teams.
It's probably a third coming up. You
know, yep, could very well be. Having a quarterback matters. Those two throws by Caleb were pretty remarkable. And, fun to watch.
Well, speaking of remarkable throws, Cam Ward made a couple of those yesterday. 26-9 for the Titans against Kansas City. The offense, you know, regularly at this point, Corey, the last 5 weeks getting into the 20s and 30s. So what did you make of Ward, his performance yesterday, and the progress that you're seeing toward the end of the year here?
Well, should have had 30. I still can't get over watching Jeffrey Simmons run right up to the official, hold his hand up, and point to his number.
It's amazing.
And then not acknowledge that he reported. He had a couple of misses in the first half. You got to take the whole thing in. All right. That opening drive, he's got DMR wide open for a first down in the flat, and he goes longer on fourth down to Gunnar Helm and slightly overshoots him. He goes out of bounds. You know, that's a mistake that doesn't have to happen. He can make the easier throw there. And then there was another deep corner that he threw to Io Manor that was a little short. You remember that one?
Yeah.
I mean, those are two misses. But as the game went on and they established the run game, he got better and better. And what I really want to focus on is the opening drive of the second half. It was 9-6. You know, it was pretty clear they were the better team, but you know, bad teams usually find a way to lose games even when they're the better team. So you're still wondering what's going to happen. And they come out and put an 11-play, 89-yard drive together. He has a huge third-down throw that was a dot to Ian Manor on the right sideline, and he makes a nice catch. They didn't have a single penalty on that drive. You know, he was under control. He was very good on that drive. And that drive, you know, really seized control of the football game. I think in the last three games, he's got 6 touchdowns and 1 pick. In the last 3 games, the Titans have averaged 162 yards rushing a game. I think those things are absolutely connected. And, you know, you have found with the team being better, it has allowed Cam Ward to play better. And I actually thought in the second half, he did elevate the team some with some of his plays. I mean, he made some plays. The ball to DK was really nice on the sideline. Got a huge block from Pollard there. So, you know, the Chiefs are missing some people. That's still a pretty potent defense. And so the 26 number's a good number.
Yeah, and that drifting left dime to Ian Manor. What? I thought DK was the one on the right side. Am I right? I had that mixed up?
No, you got him flipped. It was Ian Manor on the right side, DK on the left.
Okay.
Yeah,
so we're talking about the same one. Yeah, both those are great throws. Yeah. No, I agree.
Yeah,
they're
great throws.
So I actually thought, Corey, today that we would have more people sort of lamenting the sliding draft choice while this is happening. But it doesn't seem like that's the case. I mean, you know, obviously you move, the further you move from one, you're less likely to have someone desperate to, you know, to come into your spot and give you a bunch of stuff to trade down, all that stuff. But what is your, as you, if you taking those two things and weighing them against each other, like if the Titans can, well, look, I don't know that they're going to win both because the Jags are kind of a wagon frankly. And I know you just love seeing that. But
even if you could, three in a row.
What's up?
Saints have won three in a row.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, that's actually a fun game with rookie quarterbacks.
5-1 combined over the last 3 weeks.
Woo, that's wild. Flex it. But if you weigh, you know, a top, whatever, like let's say now realistically a top three pick versus like a win and maybe like a much better showing even against the Jags, so you have some momentum of how you're playing and some consistent winning elements of football. How do you weigh those two things against each other?
Well, you need picks, but more than you need picks, you need to pick well. Okay, I always say, you know, a lot of these teams, the Eagles and the Chiefs, they didn't get good picking first. You know, they got good making good decisions, and you know, you can find good players all over the draft board. You know, Ja'Marr Chase didn't go first. And we can go all over the place and find good players. The Titans got three good players in the fourth round this year. Now, you know, they need some star players. That's for sure. And they need to hit on some of those guys early in the draft. But I think learning to win, you know, creating an expectation of winning is very important. And I think more important than draft position for the Titans is establishing that this offensive line can get it done. I mean, if you can go into next season saying, all right, this five can get it done when next season starts. We're not gonna wait 12 weeks to run the football and to establish ourselves at the line of scrimmage, because they won yesterday at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the ball. That's what won the football game. Their offensive line won and their defensive line won. That's where they won the game. And so establishing the offensive line to me and that those five guys can get it done is way more important to me, way more important to me. So I want to continue to see those guys continue to pave the road the last 2 weeks, and they'll have a challenge, especially the last week, like you said, because Jacksonville yesterday, like you said, it pains me to say it, they were a wagon yesterday. Yep. They were out of hand.
Well, Corey, it's been an interesting year to watch Jeffrey Simmons, because I mean, you could see some pretty visible frustration from him on several different occasions after the games this year. I thought yesterday was really interesting. I mean, he got up there and was basically like, you know, this performance, this stuff from Cambor that I'm seeing right now is why I don't want to go anywhere. And I thought it was really good stuff from him. And if you're a Titans fan, I think that's got to make you feel pretty good about him, because there have been times this year where I've wondered, you know, how long does Jeffrey Simmons want to sit here and put up with this stuff? And I thought that was refreshing to hear yesterday.
Well, I think, you know, in years past, they said Jeffrey Simmons was a leader. This year, Jeffrey Simmons is a leader. And there's a big, big difference. And it's easy to lead when your team is 12-3. It's not easy to lead when your team is 3-12. And it says a lot more about you when you can help pull a team up rather than coast along. And so I do commend him, you know, for the way he has, you know, he's been frustrated and he's wanted more from his team, but, you know, still has not like turned on anyone. And you know, the team has, you know, I think Kevin Harlan said yesterday, this was the tightest 2-win team he's ever seen. And I said yesterday, this is the happiest 3-12 team I've ever seen in my life. And I don't mean happy to be 3-12, but just there's a lot of teams that wouldn't still be happy to playing football right now. And they're still happy to be playing football. And you see it by the fact that they're getting better. But, you know, even though his stats were limited yesterday, I thought Jeff was the best player on the field. When they lined up at the two, I leaned over to the person next to me. I said, watch Big Jeff here. I said, he's about to get 2 points. he just blew through and got 2 points. You know, he's been worth every penny he's being paid this year. And, you know, you do have to have pillars, you know, to build around. And they have to want to be there. I mean, when you hear stuff from, like, Joe Burrow, you know, about how he's not having any fun and everything, that's troubling. That's not leading. That's like saying, that's like putting up your hand saying, hey, I may want out. And everybody around you sees that. So I think Jeff has been vitally important in helping get this team turned around.
Did you know on that play that they were about to have no human being come near touching Jeff Simmons?
Yeah, no, I did not. I did not. I thought he
I
would just
mean,
simply
great
split
job
it.
by
Yeah.
him, but you know.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, yeah. And you know what's crazy is, you know, we talked to Matt Jones, the assistant offensive line coach last week, and we talked about playing Myles Garrett and then Chris Jones this week. He's like, yeah, you don't let their best player beat you. You know, you don't let them wreck the game. And I'm like, man, you talking about the one play that can wreck your game, you're on your own too, and you don't block him. That's unbelievable.
So, Corey, this ascent, this improvement that we're seeing, two
Yeah.
questions. One, how much credit do you give to Mike McCoy? And two, how upset are Titans fans going to be when he gets the job full time?
Look, I told you guys a couple weeks ago I thought he was doing a good job. I thought that the team was getting better, you know, that they had simplified things, and they've continued down the path. Look, I think he's just taken things to a sane level, okay, where they're running the football, they're doing the basics. Okay, they're not trying to reinvent offensive football with every play. And you know, you're seeing that. Does that mean he should get the job? No, it doesn't. But it is okay to say that, you know, everybody wants to bash every coaching staff all the time. It's okay to say they've done a good job. It's okay to say the team's gotten better under him. And no, that doesn't mean you have to give him the job. And you know, I don't think that's a consideration. So, you know, I don't think you have to worry about anybody going crazy.
Save that clip, Ian.
Yeah, we could use that one coming up.
Okay.
Corey, great
Look,
stuff as always.
let me just add to that
Okay.
because I can hear the sarcasm in your voice. When this happened with Mike Mularkey was a coach that they wanted to hire before they hired Mike Munchak. So he was already on their radar. And already somebody that they wanted possibly as their head coach. It was a far different situation than the one they're in now.
But it was a mic, and mics just make
That's
sense.
true.
It was a Mike. He did win two games as an interim head coach, and he did do it with a rookie quarterback. So there are a lot of parallels, except one's name was Marcus and one's name is Cam.
Oh
There
boy.
was a few others, but yeah, no, there's some similarities there.
Very
If they
interesting.
bench Cam the
10 years
last week
later.
on the road at Jacksonville, we'll know if the symmetry is really happening.
Oh boy. Oh boy. Corey, Merry Christmas to you and your family. Appreciate you taking
Yep.
time to be with us today, and we will talk to you next week, my friend.
Merry Christmas, and as excited as I am to watch those Bears-Packers games, I do not want to play Green Bay in the playoffs. I do not.
Well, we'll see if the quarterback's healthy. See what happens on that front. Could
Yeah,
be
stop trying
the
to take
leak
his head
show.
off.
He ducked his head into that hit. That's on him.
Oh, good Lord. It's
You
not
know he did.
him.
He was aiming for his
He
chest. He
was
ducked his
passing the
head right in the
ball. He
line of
was
fire.
passing.
He lowered his head and got hit in the noggin.
Dirty
That was a
players.
clear targeting.
Dirty players.
Yeah, the Packers have been dirty for 20 years, evidently, because my team
No.
has sucked.
No. Thank you, Corey. Appreciate it.
All right, enjoyed watching Rick Parsons.
Thank you. That was a cheap shot at the end there. That's
Wow.
cheap.
We
It
can all
was.
just agree that the Lions suck, okay?
Good stuff from Dan
Let's
Campbell
all.
yesterday.
Yeah, like you said on the YouTube chat, take that field goal for a team that never converts anymore and you are kicking to win at the end. But yeah,
Good stuff.
good stuff, yeah.
We'll react to what Corey Curtis had to say coming up next. Titans win 26-9 against Kansas City. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. DVD with Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingan will be broadcasting live at the all-new Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, the Mint Gaming Hall today. Prior to the Monday Night Football game, it's the 49ers and the Colts coming up tonight on Monday Night Football. Another look at old man Phillip Rivers. We'll see how that goes tonight for the Colts, who Joe, by the way, looking like the Colts are in some serious trouble when it comes to the playoffs. The Texans just don't stop winning, and you know the Jags are just going to win all their games. So Colts are in deep trouble here when it comes to the AFC playoff race.
So obviously they have to win tonight, which is going to be very tough. And boy, if they do or even come close, I'm looking at a nice 5-1 with my lock week. Ooh, baby, coming up strong. But obviously, so they'd have to win out. So they must finish with the Texans then, right?
I believe that is the case.
But how much help do they need at this point?
I think if they okay, so they got the
Jacksonville, then.
Niners, the
Yeah.
Jags,
and Houston.
And the Texans.
Oh, that's right. They have two more games. Yeah, so they have to deal with the Jags. Yeah. I mean, at least
they're toast.
Yeah, probably. But what a story if they – I am actually really excited for this tonight just because, like, there's still a team that's in it. The game means a lot. And that scene at Lucas Oil with the Niners in a huge game of Monday Night Football with – I mean, I hope everybody out there has like Geritol, packets and like canes and stuff that they bring to the game and whatever, wearing like, adult diapers outside their pants and stuff like that to honor Phil Rivers. Let's have a night.
Can't wait to see it. Can't wait to see it tonight. And by the way, I mean, it's a shame that game in Jacksonville has already taken place, because what a scene it could be in the Milky Pool next week if Indianapolis won this game tonight, if they were going to Jacksonville. But alas, two home games in a row here for the Colts.
Yeah, then Phil could do like a rumba class at halftime in the Milky Pool.
Exactly.
Play a little like jazzercise music. Yeah. Missed opportunity.
Titans win 26-9 against the Kansas City Chiefs. Joe, your thoughts on Cam Ward, not only in yesterday's game, but the progress that it looks like we're seeing toward the end of the season here. What are you seeing from the rookie quarterback right now, and how valuable do you think this could be for the Titans as they're trying to piece this all together around him moving forward?
Yeah, I think it's good stuff. It's valuable. The most important thing is just to see him play well, improve. As we've talked about, there wasn't much inaccuracy yesterday, and there were, as we've also talked about, almost every week there's one throw, not every week, but a lot of weeks there's been one throw or two throws. You're like, ooh, and then you put it, string it together in a highlight package and say, okay, now let me show you the three or four passes that every NFL quarterback has to make, like in his sleep, that he didn't make. We didn't see that yesterday. I agree with Corey that there was some elevation. Obviously the first half was a grinder, very little really happening for either team on offense. But then they open it up, and yes, a lot of it was the running game and the offensive line, but they played off each other well. You can see what play action can be when you can actually move people up front. And so I think it's really good stuff for them. It doesn't guarantee anything. It doesn't like change that this is going to end up being an okay rookie season for a terrible team. That's still what's going to be in the end, but the finish of it is different. No question about it. And so I think it's important this week that they come out and build on this, and they're going to play a game that I think is going to be highly competitive. I think it's about as good a game between two crap teams that were not long ago in contention for the number one overall pick as you're going to find in this league with the two young quarterbacks playing the way they're playing. And I think it would be a big deal for him to play well, build on it, and win this next game. But right now, I think you have to, if you're a Titans fan, whether you're a Cam do or Ward are you doing, I mean, you have to feel a little bit better today, don't you?
I would think so. I mean, we mentioned the numbers that Mike Herndon put out there earlier. They've got 24 or more points in four of the last five games. During that stretch, Cam Ward a 63.6% completion percentage, 182.4 yards per game, seven touchdowns, one pick, one fumble in that span. And he's done that, Joe, three of those 24-plus point outings coming against the top six ranked scoring defenses, Seahawks at 3, 49ers at 5, and Kansas City at number 6. And then, as Herndon points out, Myles Garrett also tossed in there as well that you had to contend with. So it's not only that the Titans are putting up better numbers and they're scoring more points, they're doing so, at least by the numbers, against some pretty good defenses. I mean, I know you watched Kansas City yesterday, Joe, and it's like, well, they look like a shell of themselves because, number one, their quarterback's gone. And then Minshew went down, so they were on their third-string quarterback. They're eliminated from postseason contention for the first time in like a decade. So I did wonder what sort of give-a-darn we were going to see from Kansas City heading into the game yesterday. But when you factor in, all those numbers that Herndon threw out there, it's still pretty impressive what the Titans have done the last 5 weeks.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, look, I thought the Chiefs came to play, like I said, in the first half. I mean, I feel like, again, you're talking about what I was wrong earlier. I said less than 40 plays. It was 43 plays, 133 total yards. Just no chance on offense. And so your defense wears down. But like they came to play in the first half. They gave up the safety like we were talking about with Corey. And Trey Smith is absolutely screaming at someone over there. They wanted to show up and be professional and win a football game, because again, you have 17 opportunities for all the work to be on the field on television in front of thousands in a stadium, and so you're going to show up and go ahead and play football, right? So they did erode in the second half, and I mean some of that is maybe just their situation or whatever, a little bit banged up as everybody is, but I think some of it is also just the Titans really executed and did some good things. You know, someone I'm in the text line. Thank you, Chase.
Ooh.
Like Sean says, that Skoronski pull to the right late, you know, that was, they had some good stuff going with some, you know, some of the gap stuff and then again, making some big plays downfield. And I agree with Robert Spears. You know, I'm looking at Tajay Spears right now and I'm like, you know what? If he's going to have that kind of elusiveness and power running through tackles, that's someone who, you know, could be a factor moving forward.
Titans win 26-9 against Kansas City. Take your reaction at 615-737-1025. Our phone number. More on that coming up next. The NFL game of the week, the Cowboys and the Commanders, coming up on Christmas Day this week at noon on 102.5 The Game. NFL game of the week presented by Circa Sportsbook Kentucky and Massaro in 12 South. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The college football game of the week, Penn State taking on Clemson in the Pinstripe Bowl this Saturday at 11 a.m. on 102.5 The Game. Who knows? You may see Dabo Swinney dressed up as Lou Gehrig out there. Coverage presented by Circus Sportsbook Kentucky, also available on the Game Nashville app and at thegamenashville.com. Joe, I know you're really looking forward to the Pinstripe Bowl going up this week.
Yeah, and I know teams must be super pumped about that too. Like, let's go someplace where it's absolutely bitterly cold and play a bowl game outside. You know, yeah. And I guess if, like, you know, Katie and I have been there, like, to do, like, the Rockefeller Center thing with the tree and stuff. It's beautiful. So if that's your bag, you know, as an 18 to 22-year-old college football player, then I guess you'd be excited. But, I never really totally got the whole, hey, let's have some Boston and New York bowl games outside.
In December/January. That'll be great.
Yeah.
Let's do that. Yeah. Taking your thoughts on the Titans, 615-737-1025. Joe, we had the discussion throughout the show of, you know, the value of the wins and the offensive performance from Cam Ward and some of these young receivers and how you value that versus the draft positioning part of this as well. You know, obviously, with each game the Titans win, the worse their draft positioning looks. They went from number 3 to number 6 in the span of a day yesterday. So, you know, there have been some Titans fans that we've heard from today that say, oh, my God, they're winning these games at the end of the year that are totally meaningless. They're taking us out of contention for the number 1 overall pick. We're not going to be able to trade back. This is an absolute disaster. It has not been as many people as I thought, and I think, Joe, that there are Titans fans that look at this and say, yeah, would we like to have the number 1 pick at this point? Obviously. You'd love to be able to trade back, collect more assets, and come away with some better players to build this roster out around Cam Ward. But on the other side of that, you are seeing, I think, some meaningful progress from your quarterback. I thought yesterday's game was probably the best, if not the best, among the best games that he's played in a Titans uniform. And I've said it, draft picks are important. I think Corey put it well a few minutes ago that good picks are important no matter where you're selecting. I mean, and that's got to be the job of Mike Borgonzi. But the most important part of this organization, more important than the draft picks, more important than the next coach they hire, all of it, is the selection you made at number 1 overall this past year with your quarterback and Cam Ward the right one? Is it a good one? And right, the more that he shows that he can handle some of this, and again, it's not been perfect, but the better he plays, the more progress he makes, I'll take that if I'm a Titans fan, even if that means some wins at the end of the year. I know, winning games in the NFL, it's a scary thought.
Yeah, listen, the one – when I argued with Kaharski, it was about the one.
Yeah.
Because the one is different. You can potentially, although this may not be the classic year, again, Cam Ward, they got offered a decent haul last year for Cam Ward, who was not a Caleb Williams or Trevor Lawrence. Like, everybody wants this quarterback, number 1 pick. I don't know what Fernando Mendoza is going to be. By the time we get to the draft, we may have decided that he's absolutely the greatest quarterback prospect of all time. But it doesn't seem like one of those years. I think there's some flaws that'll be discussed and all that stuff. But the one still, no matter what in any year, that can be different. Once you get away from that, well, sure, of course, you know, the three is better than the five, and the five is better than the seven. But I'm not making that argument anymore against the Kaharski who says that there is value in winning. And again, if the winning is being driven, you know, they've had, I mean, one of their wins this year was exceedingly ugly, right? And it's sort of like you did have some big plays, but it was just like this gifted win, right? That was most of the day was just terrible. So winning with a core group of young players who are obviously getting better individually and getting better playing with each other, absolutely there's value in that. A lot of value in that.
Well, and then, you know, Corey brought up the beyond the quarterback, the offensive line. They have clearly, for whatever reason, and I don't know what it is, but they've played better the last few weeks. Ever since that Jacksonville game, where not only them, but really the whole team just got absolutely punked in that game, the offensive line has been good the last few weeks. And that's, you know, Skoronski, I think, has been pretty good all year long, but Latham's played better. They've gotten better play, obviously, in the run blocking part of this with, you know, being able to run the football effectively the last few weeks. You know, pass blocking has not been an abject disaster like it was at times earlier this year. And they look like they're figuring some things out on the offensive line. So, Joe, I have no idea what to credit that to. I mean, you know, Kaharski talked about on Friday about how the Jacksonville game was embarrassing for them, and they've made it a point of emphasis to not let that happen again since then.
Right.
I hear that, and maybe that's the case. I think it's fair if you're a Titans fan to wonder in the aftermath of that, well, good Lord, why did it take you as long as it did to the Jacksonville game to get embarrassed by something this year? And that's a fair question. But regardless of why it's happening right now, there is some definite progress on the offensive line, which outside of Ward might be the next most important thing with this group in terms of the roster right now moving forward. If you felt decent about them heading into next year, that would be a big turn from where we were, you know, 4 weeks ago in that conversation.
Yeah. I mean, I think we've seen, certainly with Simmons, a fair amount of outward embarrassment. I think the story right now is that they're actually figuring out some ways to deal with it, to answer it. You know, whereas before, I mean, you can be mad all you want, but you just stink. You know? And I think, you know, I think with Latham in particular, we've been talking about him as the second most important individual. And I haven't seen, did Glennon put out his PFF grade? I don't know.
I
I
haven't seen
haven't
him.
seen it. But I also haven't watched the All-22, and frankly won't. But if there was an especially bad rep, like embarrassing rep from him yesterday, I missed it. I didn't see it. And I actually thought I saw some pretty good punch and lateral movement in pass pro from him. So that would be, again, if you're just like, okay, right tackle's fine. Is that possible? To be there after two more games of the season. I mean, I think it's probably more like they only were gonna look at that if it was just really bad. So to see him respond like this, which he clearly has, I mean, he's at least responded to the point of he's not pouting and he's not just a complete sieve out there. That's pretty significant for that front office, I would say.
Well, and I didn't know if that response was coming this year, right? I mean, we talked about it several times of, like, you know, all the intangible stuff that we knew about Latham in the draft process and the early parts here. I mean, there's, you know, the video that the media took last year of him out there on the field working with Olga and Bertha in the middle of a thunderstorm. It's like, wow, this guy really wants it. Like, he's, but, you know, what he was saying and doing and that we knew about him and the actions of what was happening on the field and some comments even from his own teammates did not add up. And it was like, okay, well, what exactly is going on here? And is there going to be a response from J.C. Latham? So, look, you know, hand up, we were very critical of him throughout the year. It's only right to give him his due when he starts to play better. And he is, I mean, he's not going to get to the point that I tried to hold him to this year in terms of you need to feel like he's a great player at the end of year two after having selected him number seven overall. But it was trending towards maybe feeling like it was a disaster. And the fact that he's been able to rebound and kind of steady himself here, I think, is good heading into the offseason.
Yeah. So you have a core. It's like, you know, you still have to figure out a couple spots and, you know, but every offensive line in this league has to figure out a couple spots. You know, they went with Zeitler this year, which seemed like actually a pretty good idea. Really didn't work out. Sometimes it does, sometimes it doesn't. You know, Dan Moore, I mean, I mean, you'd still, you're probably looking at one more year of him, and but I also think that like you at least need to have like a little bit better situation at swing tackle, you know. But you have that group, and you think you feel like you could do something. You could run the ball. Who was the running back? Has Pollard done enough? You know, that's an interesting question. Like we've been talking about Spears, we know the three rookie pass catchers are gonna be part of it. I'll tell you another guy we haven't talked about today, but I like what I'm seeing is Chig.
Yeah.
I like what I'm seeing from Chig. I mean, he's out there even like giving people some physicality when he has the ball, which I don't think I've ever seen in his career. So I think there's a higher level of confidence there. So yeah, it's like if you can add a couple of big time talents, and of course you have to add on the outside a big time talent. I don't know. I mean, you might have something, and then there's really more work on the other side of the ball to be competitive. But like the Titans being a competitive football team next year, competitive as in they could still be, as of this point, or at least as of December, still in some kind of a postseason race. It's just not crazy at all. That's exactly what the NFL is designed to happen. You just have to make a lot of good choices in
Well,
one off season.
especially when you're being coached up the way that Mike McCoy's coaching him up right now. You just do that coaching job the way he's doing it, you're going to put yourself in a position to have a chance.
I mean, I gotta tell you, I don't know, man. 10 years later, rookie quarterback, Mike takes over. Mike rallies the troops. Mike talks to Amy. I don't know.
There's some Titans fans throwing
Get
their phones right
excited.
now, just throwing
I
stuff all over the place. One more segment
hope
coming up
Darcy's
next.
listening.
We'll react to the Titans 26-9 win against the Kansas City Chiefs. Nick Saban is speaking later today. New owner of the Nashville Predators. We'll get to Jeff's thoughts on that as well.
What's
All
your
that coming
question
up.
for him? You need to tell us your question for him when
I
we
got
come
several
back.
questions for him. I thought
Okay.
about wearing a Vols polo today at the press conference, but I decided against it,
Ooh,
mainly because it's
or
too cold.
you know another thing that triggers him. See this MGO blue
Oh,
cup? You
yeah.
know the maize and blue might get him a little bit triggered.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do a little bit later. More coming up next. If you're looking for a great spot to pregame before the final Titans home game this season, stop by John Bon Jovi's pregame with 102.5 The Game. JBJ's has the best food on Broadway, cold beer, cocktails, and stunning skyline views, including two epic rooftops. Pregame show brought to you by Parman Tractor and Equipment and Circa Sportsbook Kentucky. This is Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. The Game Nashville Sports Network, your home for college football bowl games, presented by Twin Peaks and Parma Tractor and Equipment. Tonight on Sports Talk 830, it's Washington State taking on Utah State in the famous Idaho Potato Bowl at 1 o'clock, one of Rex Road's favorite bowl games. For a list of games carried on the Game Nashville Sports Network, visit thegamenashville.com/bowl games. We are taking your thoughts. Let's head to our phone line. Driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Welcome in Bob to the program. Bob, good morning. Thank you for calling in.
Hi, good morning, guys. There's two things that I'm looking at right now making me very optimistic. One is the fact that we've only lost to one team that didn't have a winning record. And the second thing is, yeah, I was one of the people wanting us to tank and get the number one pick, but after looking at the way that the rookies are contributing this year, I'm pretty confident in what Bergonzi can do, so I can't wait to see what we can add this year's draft. Plus, what we get coming up on the next draft. I think that's the best part. Looking forward to what we can get done.
Thank you, Bob. Appreciate the call. I think a lot of Titans fans, based on our reaction today, Joe, kind of feel that way. I mean, look, everybody understands that the number one pick, if you can get it when a season's going as poorly as this one's gone for the majority of the year, would be great. But also, like when you see your quarterback start to have some things click for him, I think the wheels start to turn a little bit of what that could ultimately mean for your franchise, right? Like if the quarterback starts to figure some stuff out. And again, by no means do I think that Cam Ward is some finished project, or am I convinced all of a sudden that Cam Ward's going to turn into some great player? We'll see. But he is making progress. I think that part of it is undeniable, and that is unquestionably, I think, a good thing for Titans fans right now. And I think you're seeing some positive reaction to it today.
Yeah, again, I'm not trying to say that I doubted any of you or underestimated you, but I did think we'd have a little bit more arguing today on the whole, oh my God, they're sliding down the board.
Same.
And not much at all. So I'm gonna guess that like Stilly is gonna scream about that and and like whatever, put out memes about sad turtles drafting Cam Ward. That was interesting. But look, it's new information keeps coming in, and I've felt varying degrees of confidence in Cam Ward this season. We're going to get through it, and it's not going to be looked back on as some stirring, amazing rookie season, but it is going to be low threes, mid-teens probably touchdown passes, and some hope and some progress and some improvement, and still much more needed. And even a few weeks ago, I think we definitely had some more, I guess, pessimistic discussions about him. So he's never going to be some put a team on my back guy, but like we've talked about a million times, how many of those guys are in the league? Even if you draft first overall, you're probably not getting one of those guys. The Jacksonville Jaguars don't have one of those guys, do they? Is Trevor Lawrence incredible now? Has he turned into a superstar?
He's playing pretty well.
He's a good quarterback, but look at what they've done around him to make his job easier. So now all of a sudden that team can win at a high level.
Hired a 16-year-old general manager. It's a bold strategy. It's worked out very well for Jacksonville to this point.
It's like Google.
And we want him to be nothing more than him.
It's like Google. It's like all these like kids running around and whatever. They work all these weird hours, but they just come up with this genius stuff that makes all this money. So I guess that's the way to go. Get rid of the dinosaurs.
You know, I heard Liam Cohen talking again yesterday, Joe. You know, Sean Payton earlier this week talked about, for whatever reason, brought up like the market size of Jacksonville. And he was like, yeah, you know, kind of a small market team coming in this week. But they're playing well, playing some good football out there. So we're looking forward to the challenge. And, you know, Cohen, I think we've learned, is pretty petty. So they go into Denver yesterday. They win. He's like, I'm glad our small market team was able to come in here and get the job done at Mile High. So it's only intensifying my desire. You know, I think Sala, in all actuality, Joe, is probably like fourth or fifth on my list. But he's moving up the charts for no other reason than we could get Sala versus Cohen for a long time, and maybe they'll fight each other after every contest.
Yeah, no doubt. I got to say, why would Sean Payton bring that up?
I don't know.
Small market team. Yeah, like because Kansas City's, you know, their market's a huge factor in their championships. That's weird.
They got a small market. They got a pool with a bunch of interesting folk in there at their home games.
That is interesting. But, yeah, he is petty. So that is part of my Sala. That's part of my pros side of the list on Sala. So, I'm here for all that. And I got to say, man, he's done an awful good job. You know, Coach of the Year, I think that comeback last night, that might clinch it for Vrabel, although Ben Johnson also has got to be right there, right? And then does Cohen start to get a little love for this?
I mean, yeah. I'm trying to find the odds. Let's see here. Of course, FanDuel has totally screwed up their app here, so I'll have to find it another time.
While you're looking for that, I did not see. I missed the handshake between Ben Johnson and Matt LaFleur. Was it icy again?
It was brief. It was very brief.
Just a drive-by handshake. Boy, tell you what, man, LaFleur almost. Someone was it Chip from Mount Juliet saying like Malik Willis is better than Jordan Love? Let's calm it down. Let's calm it down. He made some great plays.
He did.
Like he you got to be impressed with what he did.
Look, in all seriousness, on the Malik Willis front, he's a free agent this offseason. I am very interested to see what happens with him. I don't think anybody's going to look at him and be like, "Yep, starting quarterback. Let's go get him." But he's obviously done pretty well for himself, and I don't know if he's going to be like some, you know, is he going to price himself out of being the backup at Green Bay? Is he go somewhere else and maybe a more tenuous quarterback situation where he would have a shot to play if the starter fails? Like I'm interested to see what happens with him.
I think he could at least be viewed by some teams as, hey, that's an intriguing QB too. And again, young and still could keep getting better. And also, if I were him, look at how I played in Tennessee and then what has happened since I've gone to Green Bay and say, you know, I kind of like this coaching staff. But then again, maybe you'll get your wish and LaFleur will get fired.
We'll see what happens.
I'm seeing Vrabel plus 210.
Yeah.
McDonald plus 300.
Yeah.
Ben Johnson plus 350. Cohen plus 600.
I mean, that's pretty good top four.
500, excuse me.
Pretty good top four.
That is, and the top three are very close there.
And Shanahan's actually tied with Cohen at plus 500.
That's another one that needs to be in there with all the injuries they've had.
Yeah, I suppose that's true. But, you know, Shanahan, whatever. I mean, that's the thing. Like, Vrabel, like, voters would be like, you know, Vrabel has won this, like, 4 years ago. How about Ben Johnson?
Well, I mean,
a treat for Lions fans that would be.
Yeah, Derrick Henry punched in that second touchdown for him last night, and I was like, well, they're getting ready to just run New England right off the field here in the fourth quarter. And then Drake May goes right down the field for whatever reason, and I understand that, you know, Tyler Huntley's in the game and you're trying to pick up some first downs, but for whatever reason, the last two drives of the game, Derrick Henry did not step foot on the field, which I thought was interesting. So a lot of conversation right now on the John Harbaugh front too.
There is. And I think we've shifted from Tomlin. Nope, never mind, to Harbaugh.
Yeah. Worth keeping your eye on.
Interesting. Yeah, absolutely.
By the way, speaking of Malik Willis, we could get a nice Malik Willis versus Snoop Huntley quarterback battle on Saturday Night Football this week. Could be good.
Oh my goodness. Do you feel like Love won't play?
I don't know. I mean, it's concussion protocol, so I have no idea.
Yeah. And it is one fewer day.
Yeah.
Although I guess they played Saturday, so it basically just it's a week. But
and Lamar,
yeah,
another injury too.
Yeah,
huh?
Man. Yeah. He cannot stay healthy.
It's really and you just wonder if this is where it's starting to go that way for him, period. Yeah. Right?
It's
which sucks if that's the case.
By the way, Derrick Henry, 1,253 yards, 12 touchdowns on the year. So, you know, he could. We'll see what he does in the last couple of games here, Joe, but he could end up, you know, somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,500 yards again at his age.
Yep. Down year. Down year, 1,400 yards.
Woo!
So that'll put him at like 3,500 in 2 years for the Ravens.
Yep.
He's okay.
That's going to do it for us today here on the program. Hope everybody has a wonderful rest of your Monday. We'll be back 6 a.m. tomorrow. You're listening to 102.5 The Game.